special. We also, if you have any pans in the fellowship hall or dishes, you need to get those. And if you've taken a roasting pan home, make sure you took yours, because someone took someone's that isn't there. So just double check if you've taken a roasting pan home. I'd like today to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Book of Matthew, chapter 27. I'd like to just read verses 45 and verse 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What we read here took place from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. That is from noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mark tells us in Mark 15 and 25, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. That is, at about 9 a.m., Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. And from 9 a.m., from the third hour, up to the sixth hour, being noon, Jesus spoke three times from the cross. First, he uttered a word of forgiveness in praying for those who were crucifying him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Secondly, he spoke a word of salvation to the dying thief. Remember, the dying thief prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus responded by saying, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then the third thing that Jesus said, again, this is from 9 a.m. till noon, he spoke a word of compassion. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to his disciple, that being John, behold thy mother. Then after 3 hours, from 9 a.m. till noon, after 3 hours upon the cross, something amazing happened. Something very startling. Something quite remarkable. Something phenomenal. Something extraordinary happened. We read, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And I believe that is the central verse in the story of the cross. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that a sudden darkness, a very strange and mysterious darkness, fell upon the earth. It was a darkness at noontime. A darkness in the presence of the sun, that is the S-U-N. A darkness while the sun was shining very brightly. A darkness that smothered the sun. Luke records in Luke 23 and verse 45, he said, and the sun was darkened. And the sun was darkened. The three most incredible, most mysterious hours that ever were, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Three very mysterious hours. The fact that there was a darkness over all the land is not to be passed over lightly. It's not insignificant. It's not incidental. It is something to be noted here in Matthew chapter 27. At about 3 p.m., the ninth hour, out of the darkness comes a word of anguish. It was a word that was addressed to God the Father. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our finite minds will never fully comprehend the full significance of those words, nor will our minds ever comprehend the full significance of the darkness. We'll never fully fathom. We'll never get to the bottom of what happened in our text. I want to speak this morning on the subject, if our voice allows us, of in the darkness for me. In the darkness for me. And as we preach this message, we would remind you that the one upon that cross is in a place of unparalleled suffering. No one has ever been more despised. No one has ever been more rejected than one upon that central cross. No one has been more hated. No one has been more mocked, taunted, and ridiculed than the one upon that central cross. The one upon that cross, his head is embedded the crown of thorns. Large Roman spikes have been driven through his hands and his feet. His bones are out of socket. Not one of them is broken, but his bones are out of socket. His back has been pulverized by scourging. And the spittle of vile and wicked men is upon him. I also remind you that the one upon that cross is innocent. He is without any sin. He is without any fault. He is without any flaw, without any defect, without any blemish whatsoever. He is holy. He's spotless. He's pure. He lived never doing anything wrong. He lived an absolutely perfect life. I also remind you that the one upon that central cross is there voluntarily. In other words, he's there because he wants to be. Amen. You and I will never fully understand that either. And I remind you that the one upon that cross is in the place of others. He is in the place instead of those whom he loved. He is there in the place instead of those who have transgressed the laws of God, for those covered with the filthiness of sin, for those filled with the corruption of sin. He is there for the unacceptable. He is there for the hell deserving. He is there for those who have rebelled against God. So in this message, we want to go to that time between the sixth and the ninth hour. Because from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. Not only darkness, but there was a silence during that time. We want to consider that darkness. We want to consider the cry that eventually came out of that darkness and what it all means to you and I. First of all, consider the darkness. There are three crosses. Upon two of them are thieves. And upon that central cross is Jesus. There's also quite a gathering of people. Roman soldiers are there. The chief priests are there. The scribes are there. The Pharisees are there. The Sadducees are there. Authorities are there. There's a multitude of common people that are there. And after 3 hours upon the cross at noon, the brightest part of the day, a darkness falls upon the earth like a blanket. This darkness was extensive, was over all the land. It was penetrating. It was supernatural. It was mysterious. It was really unexplainable. It was deep. It was a thick darkness. I believe it was a darkness that could be felt. It was a terrifying, horrifying, and dreadful darkness. An excruciating darkness. And if you could listen into that crowd that had gathered that day, you might hear someone say with an uncertain voice, "It must be a solar eclipse." And someone else says, "No, it can't be, because it's the time of full moon. It can't be a solar eclipse." Another may say, "Quite a storm is coming." Someone else might begin to say, "I'm scared." I'm sure several people thought that and said that. "I'm scared." Because not only was it dark, there was no word coming from that central cross at this time. And I'm sure somebody in that crowd said, "No, this isn't an eclipse. No, there's no storm coming. This is what the prophet Amos was talking about." Certainly someone in that crowd realized that. This is what Amos wrote about. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 9, we read, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day." Certainly, this is what the prophet Amos was talking about. So we have this darkness. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son, the S-U-N, of righteousness, hung upon that central cross in yet a darkness so thick that it could be felt. In spite of the fact that the light of the world was on that cross, this darkness was everywhere. We read, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." There was no light. There was no light to be found. In the whole history of creation, there has never been 3 hours like this. This 3 hours stands apart from all other time. Never has there been anything like it. That mysterious, unexplainable, deep and thick darkness enveloped everything during those 3 hours. And that darkness is full of meaning. And everything that that darkness represents, and you and I cannot fully comprehend everything that that darkness represents, but everything that it represents, Jesus Christ was there for me. And Jesus Christ victoriously came through. Everything that that darkness represented. Jesus was in the darkness. He was in the darkness for me. And everything he experienced in that darkness, he experienced for me. So let's consider the darkness. I believe that this was the darkness of hell. The darkness of hell and the darkness of evil. In Matthew 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke of outer darkness, where there will where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I believe that the darkness that we read of in our text was that outer darkness of hell, such as referred to in Jude verse 13 as the blackness of darkness. The blackness of darkness. We read of the power of darkness in Colossians 1 verse 13. We read of the chains of darkness in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. Demonic forces are referred to as the rulers of darkness in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. And from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, Jesus Christ was for me in the very darkness of hell. For me, the powers of hell were unleashed against Jesus Christ in that 3 hours of darkness. Luke records for us a fact not mentioned by the other gospel writers. In Gethsemane, Jesus said to those who came to arrest him, in Luke 22 and 53, he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." This is your hour and the power of darkness. Again, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And during that time, Satan and his demons, in all their fury, in all their hatred, in all their malice, could not overcome Jesus Christ. Oh, how they tried in that 3 hours of darkness. But for me, Jesus Christ overcame the darkness of hell. For me. Darkness also is illustrative of heavy affliction. During that 3 hours of darkness, Jesus Christ endured unimaginable distress. You and I do not know really what transpired during those 3 hours of darkness. We really know nothing of the suffering of Christ during that time. But I believe this is the peak of Christ's suffering during this 3 hours. Unimaginable pain. Unimaginable trouble. Unimaginable misery that Jesus Christ was in at this time. Keep in mind, he's innocent. Keep in mind, he's there voluntarily. Unimaginable adversity during this time. Unimaginable sorrow and anguish and torment. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we cannot possibly fathom the depth of Christ's suffering at this time. In Isaiah 53 and verse 11, it is referred to as the travail of his soul. And I believe that during that 3 hours of darkness, Jesus Christ was in travail of soul. And as we've already said, he reached the peak. During that 3 hours, he reached the peak of her suffering. But darkness also is illustrative of God's displeasure and God's judgment. We've seen that darkness is illustrative of hell. It's illustrative of evil. And the forces of evil did all they could in that 3 hours of darkness. It is illustrative of sorrow and anguish. And all the depth of sorrow and anguish that Jesus went through during that time. But it also illustrates God's displeasure and God's judgment. During that 3 hours of darkness, Jesus Christ endured the judgment of God. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 12. He bare the sin of many. And in 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. This is not figurative. This is real. My sins were placed upon Jesus Christ. Every single one of them, in all their filth, in all their vileness, was placed upon Jesus Christ. God gathered them all together and laid the load of the sins of his people and put them all upon Jesus Christ. They were all transferred to Christ. And as a result, he bore the guilt of my sin. As a result, he bore the effects of my sin. And with those sins upon him, it was during that 3 hours of darkness that Isaiah 53 tells us he was stricken. He was smitten of God and afflicted. My sins upon him during those 3 hours of darkness. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. This is far worse than all the bruises that man laid upon Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him
grief. Why did God bruise his own son? Because God looked down and he saw my sin upon Christ. And God's judgment was poured down upon my sin, which was found upon Jesus Christ. And though we cannot fathom the depths of this judgment of God that came upon Christ during those 3 hours of darkness, we do get a glimpse of it. We get a glimpse of it from the cry that proceeded from Christ's lips. For 3 hours, not a word was heard upon that central cross. And then about 3 o'clock, out of the darkness, came a loud and piercing cry. We read at about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is a cry that reveals that during those 3 hours of darkness, there was an estrangement between the Father and the Son. There was an abandonment. There was a desertion. Jesus Christ, the innocent one, there voluntarily in my place, was deserted by God. Paying my sin debt. He had already been forsaken by the religious hierarchy. He had already been forsaken by the disciples. But all of that was nothing compared to the 3 hours of darkness. You think about it. The one who's hanging upon that central cross had been from all eternity the object of God's love. From all eternity, he had had unbroken communion with the Father. Never was there a moment that he spent out of the presence of God. But now, for 3 hours, there is an estrangement. Communion has been broken. Communication with heaven has been interrupted. There was now an alienation that was taking place. Why? So that the crushing weight of my sin could be borne all alone by Jesus Christ. Without the presence of the Father. Without the presence of God's light. He bore my sin. Without the presence of God's comfort, he bore my sin. For 3 hours, without the presence of God's peace, without the presence of God's friendship, without the presence of God's fellowship, Jesus Christ was alone. I want to say never has there been anyone more alone than Jesus Christ was during those 3 hours of darkness. And you know what? If I were the only person that Jesus died for, there still would have been that 3 hours of darkness. And the darkness would have been just as black, just as dark. And Christ would have been just as alone as he were when he died for a multitude of sinners. So he's alone. He bore all of my sin alone. 3 hours. 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of silence from Jesus Christ. And then came the most gut-wrenching cry of abandonment and loneliness in the history of the world. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? This is not a cry against God. This is a cry to God. In paying the penalty of my sins, Jesus Christ was forsaken by God. Again, you and I can never fully fathom what that means. But Christ took the desertion in our place. Our sin demands the justice of God. Our sins demand to be forsaken by God. But Jesus Christ took my place. God laid all my sins upon Jesus Christ, and payment was made. My sin debt has been paid. He endured the darkness so that I will never, ever have to endure that darkness. I have been delivered from darkness. He endured the darkness so that I would have light. So you and I, as children of God, will never experience the darkness of abandonment. We'll never experience that darkness. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You and I will never be alone. How many times people have punished themselves for years because they walked out of the hospital room and mom or dad passed away when they weren't there. Or they were on their way to the hospital and mom or dad passed away. And I wasn't there. They died all alone. No, they didn't. No child of God dies alone. Never. Jesus Christ was alone for me. And I'll never be alone. What I read in Matthew 27, 45, and 46 was all for me. And I'm placing all my trust. I'm leaning completely upon Him for the well-being of my soul in eternity. We that have been delivered from darkness and translated into the marvelous light of Christ, we realize that those 3 hours of darkness was for us. It was for us. For me, Jesus Christ was forsaken. It seems to me that the least I can do is to be willing to forsake all for Christ. Forsake all for Christ and follow me. Remember who it is that you belong to. Never ever forget that. Remember who it is that paid your sin debt, who bought you. Don't ever forget that. And if He calls upon us to forsake all, we must forsake all. We must be willing to forsake all and to follow Jesus Christ. You that are saved, are you living for Christ? Are you following Jesus Christ? If there be anyone here today that's lost, your only hope today is Jesus Christ. Your only hope is in a crucified, resurrected Savior. Turn from your sins, receive Him today, accept Him today, call upon Him to save your soul today. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus saves. He saves today. He saved in the past, but Jesus still saves. Call upon Him today. He's your only hope. Brother Larry, if you'd come.